Kevin McCullough says she is the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite for 4 years running. The amazing mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
It is the job of a judge to resist her policy preferences. It would be a dereliction of duty for her to give in to them.
All right, that's ACB, and of course, last night she became the ninth Supreme Court justice. We are going to get a 6-3 court most times, 5-4 under worst case scenarios going forward, I think, in the days to come. But you know, this is something, and as I said in my open, we have never seen this in my lifetime, where a court for the United States Supreme Court is a predominantly originalist perspective court. And I have been working, I will be very candid about this, for a very long time to see this day arrive. And I'm very, very happy that it finally has. Someone else who may have perspective on this is the aforementioned Carol Markowitz. She is no longer the foremost Googled Carol, K-A-R-O-L, on Google. And I'm sad about that. She used to be for a long time. But whoever this Carol G is, that joker, we got to get rid of her. We got to get Carol M back up there. Hey, hey, Carol, good to have you.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Your thoughts as you watched ACB last night?
Exciting. You know, I also did not dream that we would get someone like her on the court. It was really just a happy moment. I'm very much an ACB fan. And I'm looking forward to what a court of this composition will bring.
Well, and you know, as big of a change as this is going to be on the Supreme Court level, what a lot of voters don't realize is that Trump has done maybe even a bigger shift in judicial temperament on the lower courts, because we're going to have close to 300 appellate and circuit court judges in place by the time this year is over as well. Win or lose the election, will have fundamentally reshaped the judiciary across the country.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really an amazing development of the last 4 years that this is where we are. For so long, I just feel like courts were the liberal bastion, and this has sort of put a stop to that.
Yeah, so to go back, I mean, the reshaping is this. We go from interpreting the Constitution by our feelings and what we want the Constitution to say to actually the words meaning something that are written on the paper, Carol. And, you know, as a writer yourself, you write a column, you have an intended meaning for it. The founders were even more so intentional about what they say.
Right, absolutely. I think you nailed it with the feelings thing. I don't think we should interpret it through our feelings. And it's funny because, you know, for all the criticism of, oh, she's an originalist from the left about Amy Coney Barrett, what do they want? For her to not be an originalist and her opinion to shape what the court says? I think that they would very much not like that. So it's a good situation for them.
No, they would. Like they would if she was one of them.
Well,
so
right.
if you're one of them and you're squishy and your feelings are all far left progressive, then you're fine. We'll let you just sit up there and do whatever you want. But if you're going to say that the Constitution means what it says, somehow you're the devil. I don't understand exactly. I mean, from that matter, why even have a court? You know, just the strongest man on the street wins at the end of the day. I don't know. To be continued on future discussions, I'm sure. Hey, this week you took on the schools, something you haven't covered at all in the last year in your column. You actually say maybe not even the fall of next year in New York City.
Right.
What are you talking about, Carol?
Well, and it's not just New York City. It's cities all across the country that have decided that school just doesn't matter that much. I think New York just gets an outsized amount of attention. But we're one of four major cities across the whole country that open schools at all. It's a really, really big problem, Kevin. And I don't see how schools that are not open this year or open on this like ridiculous half-time model like New York City has and like Miami has for now. I don't see how they open next year either. I don't know what changes between today and next year. So even if we got a vaccine, say, tomorrow, kids are not scheduled to get it until about 2022. And the reality is that, even if the vaccine is perfect, which it will not be, it's still 2 years away. When Fauci says we're going to be wearing masks and social distancing into 2022, it's terrible and it's a giant inconvenience for the majority of people. But what that means in school terms is that we cannot have full-time school because they're still holding kids to this social distancing requirement that no right. other country is doing. They have all given up on the idea that kids can social distance. So we're the only ones sticking with this. That's why we have part-time or no school at all. And we either have to give that up or we're not going to have school next year either.
And the outcome, see, and this is the problem that I have with that is because we are told that if you are a follow the science person, you have to agree with all of this stuff. But what about all the science that says this not, you know, just erasing these kids' lives for these year and a half, 2 years, however long it ends up being, is not going to have any harm to them? I mean, we a lot of data that's saying these kids are running other risks and dangers
Absolutely.
Now that are not even being discussed.
Right. But even putting that aside, let's say nothing matters except survival. Kids extremely rarely contract coronavirus. Kids extremely rarely pass it on to grownups. These are extremely rare cases. So we're not even following the science in that way. Like, forget about all the side effects of it, which I think are so bad and so dire and so long lasting. If you don't care about any of that, fine. Just care about the science part of it, which says that kids are, for the most part, safe from this, and they're safe from passing it on to adults, too.
Well, it's going to be discouraging. So what do you think happens, Carol, if we lose schools for the next two years?
Yeah.
What happens to families like yours living in densely populated metro areas? Are they leaving? Are they heading to the country?
Absolutely. Yes. So, you know, we're lifelong New Yorkers and the idea of leaving New York had never even occurred to us before this last year, no matter how bad things had gotten. But schools would really be the last straw. There's absolutely no way we stay in a city that prioritizes schools in last place like this, in a state that does that. It's really, the joke is that Bill de Blasio has been the champion of opening schools, and Governor Cuomo hasn't been. So, yeah, I think people like us will be immediately leaving, and I think a lot of people are doing that already. I think that they've realized that they can't live somewhere that schools aren't open, and they've been departing for places where they are.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty dire. But Carol Markowitz has been speaking out on this for quite some time in her latest piece. If they won't fully reopen schools despite what science says, when will they? Carol, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, coming right back.